Anyone who's visiting, anyone who's new, my name is Rob. I'm the local pastor of Liberty Church here in Bray. And it's my privilege to get to speak tonight for the next 20, 25 minutes or so. And I believe the Lord's given me something to say tonight. And I believe that there's something that each and every one of us need to hear tonight. And if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to be open to what the Holy Spirit might say into our lives, that He can use tonight, He can use this next 20, 25 minutes just to establish some truth in our lives. That can change us, that can transform us, that can release us to be the people who God's made us to be. And I want to speak today from Matthew chapter 6, and it's a verse that we all know, hopefully, and it's something that's been on my mind for a while over the past couple of weeks, something that the Lord's been speaking to me. And so when I preach tonight, I'm preaching to myself as much to any of you guys, because this is something that's very real and present in my life at the moment. And it says this anyway, it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. Again, we probably all know it. It says this: "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So today, what I want to speak about, I want to speak about living in today, about knowing what it is to live in the moment, in the day that God has created. And I want to speak about what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And for a couple of reasons, on a personal level, I believe that there's truth that can help to launch us into the adventure that should be the Christian life if we'll only just seek first His kingdom. On a church level as well, you know, guys, God is really moving in this town. We see in these outreaches, we see in everything that we do. It seems, I know I've said it before, but everywhere we take a step, it's like we see that God is already there. He's already waiting just for us to join in what He's doing. And if we'll be people who seek first the kingdom of God, if we'll be people who seek what God is doing, I really fully believe that we'll see miraculous things, we'll see massive things happen in this town for the glory of God. Amen? Someone say amen. Amen. So anyway, myself and Stefan sat down this week, and where's Steph? Is he around? Somewhere. He's disappeared. Oh, there he is. All right, Steph. Myself and Stefan sat down this week, and we thought through some of this stuff and what we felt that was in this verse. And so there's a co-writing credit for this sermon going out to Stefan there. Any heresies and all that are in it are his as well. Any tough questions can be directed to him after the sermon. But let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You, Lord God, for these moments that we have together, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that You would just move, Lord God, and speak through me over these next minutes that we have together as we explore Your word, Lord. I pray, Father, that it would speak, Lord, that it would do what I know it's powerful enough to do. It would accomplish what it sets out to accomplish, Lord God. Father, that we would be people who know what it is to seek Your kingdom first, Lord God. We would be people who know what it is to grab the opportunities that we have in today. Father, I pray for open ears, Lord God. I pray for open eyes, Lord God, to see where You're working, Lord. I pray, Father, for open hearts, Lord God, that as I speak, whether it's in something I say, Lord God, or something else that just triggers something, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would move here tonight for each and every single individual in this room tonight, Father. I pray, Father God, for a divine encounter with Your truth tonight, Lord God. Truth that changes, truth that sets free, Lord God. Truth that launches us into our future. We commit this time to You in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So that verse, this verse in Matthew 6, it appears right in the middle of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, have we all heard of the Sermon on the Mount? It's called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus was on a mountain when He preached it. It starts in Matthew chapter 5, runs all the way through to Matthew chapter 7. And it's the single largest block of teaching we have altogether of Jesus. So this is Jesus really laying out how He sees the world, laying out the kingdom of God, laying out the way He believes and the way He says that things should happen, laying out the way that He believes that we should live as followers of Him. You know, we preach sermons every week here at Liberty, but this is Jesus preaching the sermon. So if you want to know what Jesus would preach on during the week, take out your Bible, find Matthew, first book in the New Testament, go to chapter 5 and read through till chapter 7. It'll only take you a half an hour or so, but you'll see what it is that Jesus has to say about the world, what it is Jesus has to say about how we should live life in this thing called the kingdom of God. It should be something that we're really familiar with as Christians. Yeah, as followers of Jesus, we should be familiar with the things that He says and the things that He teaches. We need to know these things. So anyway, in the middle of this sermon preached by Jesus, we find the verses that I wanted to take a look at today. We read it already. It says in the NIV version, and then there's like the Message version after it, if the guys move on the slide there. The NIV one said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And the Message version of the Bible, it puts the verses like this. It says, "Steep your life in God reality, God initiative and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And so I want us to look first at what it means to seek the kingdom of God. And so instead of saying seek first the kingdom and the message thing, it replaces it with these, meaning that this is what it interprets seek the kingdom as meaning. It says steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. That these should be the things that we look to first and foremost before anything else. And I think at the outset, I need to put my hand up and say that I'm not a person who always puts the kingdom of God first. I'm a person who tries to, and it's an area that God is shaping me in. But it's not an area that I always put first. And being a pretty average bloke, I would wager that that's probably the case for a lot of us. I don't know all your lives in depth, but I would say that it quite often it can be the case for a lot of us that we don't put the kingdom of God first. So I want to expand a bit on that tonight and look at how we can be people who do that. And so we're all on the same page. I want to spend a bit of time looking at what actually the kingdom of God is. And in Christianity, we have these words we use a lot of time. You'll have heard the kingdom of God come up in songs. You'll hear it come up in sermons. But do we actually know what it means? Do we know what it is when we're talking about that? And so I'd like to just expand on that a bit. And just to start off, we say that the coming of the kingdom of God is what Jesus was all about. It's the central theme to his message, to everything he taught, to everything he did, to the way he lived, to the things he left us to do. It was centered all around the kingdom of God. Everything was centered around it. When Jesus begins his ministry, we see in Matthew 4, verse 17, it says this, right at the very beginning, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, this is something that Jesus preached about. It's something that he taught about. It's something he told parables to his disciples to illustrate how it works. It's something that he exemplified in the way he lived his life. And so what is it though? What is it? What in a tangible way is the kingdom of God? Well, throughout the Bible, God is described very often as a king. He's described as a king in heaven, as a king over creation, as the kind of ruler of all creation. And Jesus put this great line in the Lord's Prayer. You know where he teaches us how to pray? That's in that Sermon on the Mount as well, just earlier in chapter 6. And it starts with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then what's the next line? It's, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's probably the greatest, I think, summation of what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that make sense? Jesus brought the kingdom and the rule of the king from heaven to earth. And the kingdom of God is the reign brought about through Jesus. It arrived with Jesus. He announced it. He instigated it. He began the rule of God on the earth in a new way through his church, empowered by his Holy Spirit. John Piper, the great preacher, he puts it excellently. He says this, listen to this. He says, this helps to explain what the kingdom is. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news that at the coming of Jesus, God moved into this world in an unprecedented way. Since Jesus has come, God is exerting his right to rule in new and powerful ways. He's attacking the enemy, the devil, in new ways. He's dealt with sin in a new way. He's gathering a people in a new way. He's empowering his representative in new ways. And in all of this, he is reigning as king. This is the coming and the advancement of his kingdom. And this is the good news. It's the gospel of the kingdom. So how many of us know that when Jesus came, the gospel that Jesus preached was the gospel of the kingdom? Jesus preached the good news that the kingdom is here. Very often we think of the gospel as news about forgiveness of sins and that sort of stuff, but they're just elements of the kingdom. The gospel, it tells us in the gospels that when Jesus preached, he preached the good news of the kingdom. When the apostles went on to preach, we read through Acts and the rest of it, it says that they preached the good news, the message of the kingdom. That when Jesus came, there was a kingdom established, a whole new way of doing things, a new way that the world was going to operate, a new way that God was going to operate in relation to the world, that things changed when Jesus came. And when Jesus comes back, he's coming back. He left kind of as a suffering savior. Jesus is coming back. He's returning as a king. To rule in his kingdom. And so what happens is Jesus came along and he established this kingdom. It's here. But we have to realize that we live in an in-between kind of time. We live in a time where the kingdom has been established. It's been started, if you like. But it won't come into full fruition until Jesus comes back. So we live in this time where we have this tension going on. We as Christians live in a time where we have good operating alongside evil, where we have suffering and pain operating alongside peace and joy, where we have struggle alongside hope. We live in an in-between time. And here's the thing, we live as God's people responsible for the extending of the kingdom of God in this age. Let's let that sit with you for a second. That's a massive responsibility, honor, privilege that the Lord has given us, that we live in a time where we can be involved in actively extending the rule of the kingdom of God in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we surrender to Jesus, in the way that we obey his teachings, the way that we follow him to where he's at, that we can actively be involved in extending the kingdom until it fills the earth and Jesus returns. Do we get that? Does that make sense? Are we all on the same page? It makes sense to like two people. Hands up if it makes sense to you. Okay, very good. That's enough of us to move on anyway. So we get to continue the expansion of what Jesus started. In Matthew 16, right later on, kind of 10 chapters later, later on in his ministry, away from the Sermon on the Mount that we looked at a minute ago, Jesus says to Peter, he says it to Peter specifically, but by extension it's to all of us, all of his church, all of the people who are identified with him. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That Jesus gives this to his church, the keys of the kingdom. Again, that we are responsible now for continuing what he initiated, to seeing his kingdom come in our lives, to seeing his kingdom come in the world. And we need to be people who live lives that illustrate that. We need to be people that show that we're citizens of the kingdom of God, people who have God reigning in our lives, people who seek to expand the kingdom. So when we look back at that verse and we say, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what we're saying is two things. We're saying, God, rule in my life. When we seek first the kingdom, we're saying, we're seeking the king. We're saying, God, be king over my life. And we're also saying, expand your rule not just in me, but through me into the world. Does that make sense? So be king over my life and use me, work through me to bring your kingdom out into the rest of the world. And it's an incredible truth and an incredible time, and something that if you really dwelt upon, that God has given us this massive task, this massive honor as his church, that we're going to be people who extend his kingdom. Imagine that God's called us and not just set us free from the past, not just done all those things for us, but given us such a purpose and a destiny and an honor to be involved in what it is that he's doing in the world right now, how he's reconciling and redeeming the world to himself. Where we get the privilege to live in this point in history where the Holy Spirit's been poured out, where we've had Jesus come, where Jesus has started the kingdom, and now it's our responsibility to propagate that, to move it on, to expand it in with our lives. And it's an incredible honor and one that God equips us to do, one that he's called us to do, and one that if we grab a hold of it, we'll see amazing things happen. I really believe it. To seek, it says to seek the kingdom. You know, in the original Greek, the verb that's used there, it's in what's called the present imperative tense, meaning that it's an ongoing thing. It's not just you seek first the kingdom, as in you do it once and then you move on with the rest of your life. It means that it's a daily thing, a thing that we should be doing consistently, that we be people who the kingdom of God becomes a priority in our life. And it doesn't just call us to seek it, but it calls us to seek it first for it to be number one in our lives. And I would say, like I started off saying, I would say that I actively do. I live my life to try and, with that understanding, to try and expand and extend the kingdom of God. But I wouldn't say, if I'm honest, that it's the thing that I always seek first, that it's always my priority. And I'm not going to lie and say it was. And maybe a question that I ask myself, and a good question for each of us to ask ourselves is to kind of highlight where our hearts are on that is, what's the number one thing that you're believing God for right now? Just take a moment to think about that. What's the number one thing that's on your prayer list, the thing that you're praying for right now, the thing that you need God to come through on? What's the number one thing that you're waiting on him for? Now, if that thing that you identify, be it a new job or a new car or a husband or a wife or any of those good things, if that thing hasn't got anything to do with seeing the kingdom of God come, then maybe we've missed what the truth is in this verse. If that thing, the thing that you're believing for God for first in your life, the thing that you're putting your prayer weight behind, that you're really pushing into God for, if that's not got to do with anything with seeing his kingdom come through your life, seeing his kingdom come in the world, then maybe we've just got to realign ourselves. We've got to just question that. We've got to see and ask the Lord, what is it that should be my focus? And we can see it again in the Sermon on the Mount. There's tons of stuff in it. But earlier on in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And we see this pattern in how he teaches us how to pray. It's in the Lord's Prayer. And he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And not lead us into, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So we all know that prayer. And what Jesus did when he taught us how to pray is he didn't just add in all the elements that should be in a prayer. He put down them in order of priority. And if we look at it, we see that the first half of that prayer starts with looking to our Father in heaven and his holiness. And then what comes next? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And only when we've prayed that does it go into our needs, into meeting our daily bread, forgiveness for our trespasses, direction for our lives. But very often, if I'm honest, when I begin to pray, what do we start with? We usually start with the second half of that stuff there. We usually start with either the things we want from God or the things we want forgiveness from. It's usually either God give me this or God forgive me for this. We usually start with those things. And very, very often we don't even get back around to the first thing at all. That our relationship with God very often is based on what we get out of him rather than what it is that he wants us to do with our lives. And I'm not saying that to beat us up or anything, but I'm saying it to just highlight some truth, because we're going to move on to why Jesus said this. He didn't just say it to be tough on us, but we should really ask ourselves honestly, reveal our hearts before the Lord. Are we just seeking things for ourselves? Or in our relationship with God, are we seeking to live beyond ourselves? Are we seeking to live for the Lord? And, Noel called us, and many of us responded last week, up to this altar. He said he's calling the priest to the altar as an act of sacrifice, and that the Holy Spirit's fire would come down and burn and use us. And that was an act of giving our lives to the Lord. And so what I want to do tonight is just follow that up with a bit of teaching, a bit of stuff that might show some attitudes that we need to have to live that kind of life. Because we can't say, yeah, God, I give you my life, and then our prayer life is all just about God, give me this, God, give me that, God, help me in this, God, help me in that. And there's nothing wrong with any of those prayers, just that they can't be our first priority. That our first priority has to be seeking the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? And I think we just really need to grasp this kind of upside-downedness of the kingdom, that when we ask God for the things we need, there's a chance we get them. But when we ask God to involve us in the things that he wants to do, his promise is what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? And all these things will be added on to you. And so what's needed is a change of thinking. And it's no surprise that if Jesus came and he announced that he was going to be doing things in a new way in the world, that it comes with a change in thinking. And that's why we've seen earlier that the very first thing that it says about Jesus when he began his ministry is that he began to say, repent. Jesus preached the message, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And that word repent is an incredible word. You know, sometimes it's associated with kind of hellfire and brimstone preaching, you know, shouting at people, repent, and associated with sin and all that sort of stuff. But to repent, if you look at that, to re means to do something again, yeah? And pent, the second half, shares the same root with the word pensive. So pent and pensive. To be pensive means to think about something, to be deep in thought about something. So to repent means to become pensive again, to become thinking again. So to repent means to think again, to rethink. It means to look at our thought processes, the way that we're operating, and to rethink about them, and to realign them with the way that Jesus has said that the world works, with the way that Jesus has revealed the character of God. Does that make sense? And so if you read through the Sermon on the Mount again, I know I'm pushing this, but read it yourself during the week. You see Jesus saying mad new things about how we should be thinking. He says things like, love your enemies. He says things like, you're blessed when people persecute you. He says things like, if someone slaps you on one side of your face, turn the other side and let them slap you there too. He says things like, don't worry about tomorrow. And this new way of thinking that comes with the kingdom of God is a big part of it is summed up in this verse where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And it's apparently irrational. We would think that we need to seek the things that we want. You know, that he's gone on talking, he's talked previously there about food and clothing and money and all those sorts of things. And he said, instead of seeking them, seek me, and I'll make sure that you have all those things that you need. And it seems irrational. It seems we need to seek the things that we really want. It seems irrational and it seems illogical. But Jesus didn't come to present us with a rational or with a logical argument. He came to reveal to us the character of the heart of God and the way that God had done things. He wasn't bothered about presenting it in a way that had a logical progression to it. He was just bothered about exposing truth that we can either accept or we can reject. And the truth is that he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll add all these things to you. Amen. If we look at the second half of that verse 33, all these things will be added to you. We see that the first half commands us to find and do the will of God. That's the seeking first, the ongoing thing, putting it first in our lives to align ourselves with his purposes. And that has to become first. But the second half is equally as powerful. That and I will, and all these things will be added to you. It's powerful because it enables us to do the first half. And we have to see it from this perspective. We can't see it from a perspective of just a command we have to obey, or Jesus being tough on us saying, forget about everything else, nothing else matters, nothing else is important, only me, only seek me. He's not saying that. He recognizes that these things are important. These are things that we need, the things that you're believing God for, whether it's money, whether it's a job, whether it's family restoration, whether it's a wife or a husband, whether it's freedom from addiction or from despair or from anything like that. He recognizes that these things are important. He's not saying forget about them. What he is saying is that in the order of priorities, if you seek me, then you can trust me with all those other things. If you seek first my kingdom, then you can trust me with all those other things. If you'll be about my business, then you can trust me to look after all the rest of those things. And you know, it's an incredible promise. The command, it doesn't just come alone as a command, but it comes with this offer that enables us to take hold of. How many of us have things that we'd like to do in our lives if only we didn't have other responsibilities? So we have things that we'd like to achieve, but we just have all these other responsibilities, these things that hold us back, that take our time, take our energy, take our focus, take our mental energy. What God is saying is that I want to free you of all those things so that you can seek me first. And he's saying that you can trust me with all those things if you seek me first. He's taken away any restriction that says, God, I can't seek first your kingdom because I have all these things to do, because of all these other responsibilities, all of that sort of stuff. He's freeing us from all of that by saying, I'll look after all of that if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. He wants us to grasp the enormity of what he's doing in the world, what he's made us for, what he's saved us for. And he wants to enable us to do that. He wants to enable us to do that. And this is the upside down thinking of the kingdom of God. The only way to really see whether that's true is to do it, guys. I can preach it to you all day long, but it's to do it. It's to put God first in your life. It's to pray the way that the Lord's Prayer prayed, that first we say, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, before we get to the rest of the things that we need from him. That our lives reflect that, our energy reflect that, the things we spend our time doing reflect that. And my experience has been that God comes true. That God is true to his word. Amen? Amen. So moving on a bit, if we move on to the next verse, that was verse 33. Verse 34 says this. So we had, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In the message, it says, this verse, interpreted just a different way, says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And over the past couple of months, we've looked at mental health, and we've gone through all those sermons. They're all available on the podcast. I know we looked specifically at this scripture and the whole area of worry. And that's not what I'm going to focus on tonight. What I do want to focus on is living in today, what it means to live in today. And a week or two ago, I had a moment of revelation, spending some time with the Lord. You know, every now and again, you just get this spark that you know has come from the Lord, whether it's through reading a line in a book or hearing a line in a song, and you just know something is there. And it was a way that God really challenged my thinking. And it started with the idea, or not the idea, the truth, I should say, because it's a biblical truth, that everything we have comes from God. You're familiar with that thought? It's biblical. If we look at now, 1 Chronicles 29 says this. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand. At your discretion, people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you first gave us. Everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you first gave us. In the New Testament echoes this kind of thought again. In James chapter 1 verse 17 he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So everything we have comes from God. And I hope I can explain this next bit right, but what God is, he dropped into my spirit that everything that I have today, yeah, everything that I have at my disposal, my time, my talents, my finances, the things that I own, everything that I have today has come from God, yeah? We understand that, we're on that page, everything that we have comes from the Lord. And so, if that's true on one hand, and then if on the other hand, we believe that God has a plan for the world, we believe as Christians that God has a plan for our lives, that God has ordained our days, then what hit me was that God's plan for today, for me, directly matches up with the resources that I have in my hand today. Does that make sense? That there's a correlation between what it is that God has ordained for me to do today and the resources that he's put at my disposal today. Now, that might seem fairly obvious to people, but it was revelatory for me. And it was revelatory because we're living in a time, you know, I'm like pastor in the church here, and we've lots of plans, we've lots of things we'd like to do in the future. And very limited resources, okay? So very often it can be a frustrating time. We would do this if only we had more money, or if only we had more staff, or if only we had more people, or if only we had blah, 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 all those sorts of things. And what God was saying to me was that, and I'll pull it back to this verse in a second, but what God was saying to me is that, Rob, you have everything in your hand for today that you need for my purposes today. And tomorrow you'll have everything in your hand for that day that you need for my purposes that day. So don't be worrying about the future. Don't be worrying about the resources you don't have. Be worrying about what it is that you do have and how you're going to use it for my kingdom today. And that was that kind of thought blew my mind, because I was spending a lot of my time in planning. I was spending a lot of my time in thinking for the future. How do we get the things that we need to be able to do the things that God will call us to do? And completely neglecting today, completely neglecting every resource that we have here, completely neglecting the fact that God is in today, that God has work for me, ordained for today. And not only has he work ordained for me today, but he's given me everything today that I need to achieve it. That if we believe that God has a plan for our lives, and we believe that everything we have comes from God, then it doesn't make sense that God would leave us without the things that we need today to accomplish what he has for us to accomplish today. Amen? Amen. And that truth alone should convince us that we can change the world, that there's a complete alignment between our purpose and God's provision, between the reason that we exist and the resource that God's put in our hands. And what if we began to understand our lives like that, guys? What if every day we began to understand that God has a purpose for me today? And not only has he got a purpose for me today, but that's not limited by what I don't have or by the things that I feel I'm lacking in, but that I am completely resourced for that purpose today. I hope that makes sense. I know I'm saying today a lot, but I hope it makes sense. But the fact is, we miss out because very often we think we need something else. We need more education or more talent, more money, more time, more preparation. And they're all good things for the future and things that God will add. But today you have everything you need to achieve his plans today. And too many of us defer our potential in God by being fooled into thinking we need something else that we don't have yet. God has designed today for each one of us in such a way that your resources, your talents, your temperament, your personality, and all the things you have to hand all combine to accomplish something specific for today if we'd only seek God first and his righteousness. If we'd only be people who'd pray like Jesus prayed first, your kingdom come and your will be done. Before we ask for our daily bread, before we ask for the things we need, we're seeing what is it that we need them for. We need them to see your kingdom come and your will be done. How many of us, don't hear any condemnation in this. This is just hopefully truth that exposes something in our hearts and we have the opportunity to change. But how many of us even today asked God use me today? Like there's I could go weeks without praying that prayer. God use me today. And then as soon as we do pray it, God uses us. And it's one of those irresistible prayers to the Lord. We need to consciously ask God, what would you have us do today? You know when Jesus says that I don't do anything that my Father in heaven doesn't tell me to do. And you see the life that Jesus lived, you see the impact he made on the world, and then you see Jesus saying to his disciples that you'll do greater things than these. See Jesus saying to his disciples that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to empower us to do those greater things. And it takes us living as people who say, God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put your kingdom first. I'm going to be about my Father's business. Same as Jesus said that time when he went missing when he was a kid. And too often our prayers are about our needs. Or more wholly, they're about other people's needs. But again, they're needs-based rather than what can I do for you and with you today, God? And so there's two things I believe are truths that we can grasp today. That God has a kingdom, expanding purpose for you today. And that you have everything you need to achieve that purpose today. Amen? Amen. It's roasting in here, isn't it? I'm going to be selling these hankies after at the back. If you need any healing or if you have any headaches or backaches. No, anyways. So here's the question. What if you have in your hand today everything that you need to accomplish God's purposes for today? What way would that make you live your life? What way would that make you relate to God? What way would that make you pray? What way would that make you live? What way would that make you look around as you walked about? What way would that launch you into this kind of adventure that it is to be in God, this kind of unpredictability of who God's going to put along your path and at what times? And cheers to that. I think too often we live in kind of if-only territory. We say, like, if only I had more money, I could serve God better. If only I had a better job. If only I had a wife or a husband who supported me. If I only had a brain, as the scarecrow said. Whereas God says, if only you realized who it is that lived in you. If only you realized what I've put at your disposal. If only you trusted me enough to take me at my word. If only you realized the price I paid for you. If only you realized the plans I have for you today. If only you realized that when I said I'm with you to the end of the age, I meant it. If only you realize that from the beginning of the world, I have ordained things for you to do today. And I've put everything in your hand that you need to accomplish them. God says you have all you need for today. Probably not for tomorrow, but you'll have that tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough troubles of its own. We need to start living in today. As I said, this is something that the Lord has been speaking to me over the past couple of weeks. And so it's something that's fresh and real in my mind. And I hope that it's something that's encouraging you and blessing you. But it's also something that he said to me a while back. And I was just reminded of this story. But we can easily forget the things that the Lord says. We can easily, all too easily forget. And a couple of years ago, I went away on a retreat of sorts. I went away just by myself to a caravan down in Wexford. And just myself and my Bible and a notebook. And just a time of seeking the Lord. And, you know, solitude is an important thing. Solitude is a spiritual discipline that we tend to neglect probably too often. We need to spend time alone with the Lord and let him speak to us. And so that was the point of this. I was down there. I was alone with the Lord. Didn't know anybody around the place. Was there by myself. And the Lord spoke something to me one of the days through reading my Bible. And he revealed to me that I was kind of, I'd been living my life for him, right? Which is the thing that we say, I live my life for God. But what he showed me is that he didn't want me to live my life for him. He wanted to live his life through me. And now that's another sermon, but he wanted to give his life literally into me and live his life through me. And so he spoke to me in that way. Maybe I'll preach on that another time. But I remember that was one night, and then the next morning I prayed, just a simple prayer. I said, God, will you live in and through me today? Now, like I said, I was alone, so I had no idea what that might look like. I thought that maybe when I go down for dinner somewhere, I might see someone who's in need or someone who's begging or something, be able to give them a few quid or something like that, that I might see a kind of opportunity to use. But later that day, I was sitting out on the deck and reading. There's decking outside. It was a scorcher of a day. I ended up getting sunburned. And this guy, I'm not making this up, guys, 100%. This guy walks up to me with a parrot on his shoulder. Okay, so like a big pirate kind of parrot thing on his shoulder, and he walks up to me, and in my mind I'm thinking this is too weird. Like I'm thinking this is either like an angel or something else, but anyway, he walks up to me and he asks me, "Can I speak to you?" And having prayed that prayer this morning, I couldn't say no, which I usually would say, "No, go away," or pretend to be deaf or something, pretend that. But if you know me, you know that like talking to a stranger is the last thing I want to do. But I said yeah, and more than saying yeah, I said yeah. Do you want a cup of tea? And I'm like, what would you say that for, Rob? Why are you asking him for a cup of tea? The only reason I'd give someone a cup of tea is if I wanted to get rid of them, if I thought they'd go if I gave it to them. And so anyway, I asked him in. He says yeah, and he comes in. I bring him into the caravan and I put the kettle on. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I just let a guy with a parrot into. into this caravan. Am I going to be murdered? What's going on here? So anyway, he's in there, right? And I was thinking, I thought, look, Lord, I prayed that you'd use me today, and now here's an opportunity. A guy's come up and asked me, can you speak to me? And And so I'm thinking in the back of my head, right, I start thinking, well, how can I turn a conversation about God? It turned out he was selling like these CDs. There was a girl who had cancer or something, had to go to America for treatment, and they'd recorded a song on the CD and they were selling them to try and raise the funds to bring her away. And so he was telling me about this, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, right, well, how can I transition this into being about God? How can I kind of shoehorn in something about Christianity? I want to tell this guy about Jesus. And I'm not messing. Those thoughts were just forming in my brain. They hadn't even fully formed. And the guy spots my Bible on the counter, and he says, oh, I've read the Bible sometimes. Would you like to have a chat about it? And I'm like, what? This is incredible. This is amazing. And so I say, yeah. And then we have a cup of tea, we sit out, and for the next hour, I'd been there for 2 or 3 days at this stage, for the next hour, I just unpack everything that the Lord has said to me over the last 2 or 3 days, just speak this into this guy's life. I gave him a book to take away, I gave him a number, I never seen him again, never heard from him again. I don't know if he was an angel or what he was, and I don't know what the crack with the parrot was. I don't know what the story is with the parrot, other than to make sure that I never forgot that story. I remember the next day, when I was there, I was like, did I make that up? Was that a figment of imagination? Because it was too weird. And I seen then on the deck in the little bit where the parrot had pecked away at the deck and pulled a bit of it away. And I'm like, no, that was real. And so I wrote it all down in my notebook so I didn't kind of forget it. And I was just, the Lord was just basically saying to me, look, you pray these kind of prayers, I'm going to answer them. You know, and he's going to make it easy for us. Then if we'll pray, that morning I just prayed, God, live through me today. If every morning we lived our lives like that, guys, if every morning we woke up and said, God, live through me today, build your kingdom through me today, I guarantee you that there'd be weirdos with parrots walking up to all of us every single day. We'd be seeing them all over the place. And I know for a fact, if that guy wasn't an angel, and I really entertained the thought that he might be, but if he wasn't an angel, I know that the things that I unpacked and that I shared with them were things that he needed to hear that day. And so if we pray, if we live this way, God will put people in your path that have exactly what you that need exactly what you have to give away that day. Are you with me? That we have everything we need, that if we pray these prayers, God will lead us into these circumstances. You make us people with stories like that on a daily basis, that the adventure of living with the Lord. If we seek first the kingdom of God. See, there's no room, guys, for procrastination in the kingdom of God. You know, procrastination is like putting off till tomorrow what you could do today. And I'm the king of it. Deadlines are the only reason that I get anything done whatsoever. But God's purposes for today are to be carried out in today. They're not things we can put off till tomorrow. If we believe this, that God is aligning things, aligning people, aligning resources, aligning time, that they come together at these divinely opportune moments that couldn't be created, that we couldn't create, then we have to be people who learn to recognize them, learn to move in them, and learn to take advantage of them. We need to do what today, what he has for us to do today. It's got his plans don't start tomorrow. They start today. We live in this time where the Holy Spirit's been poured out, where the kingdom of God is expanding, where we know that Jesus is returning soon. We live in a time where we have a mission and a commission and a goal and a reason to live. And we need to take a hold of it every day. We live in a time where God is building his kingdom in this place. Like I started off saying, there's a real sense, and not only a sense, but an evidence that God is at move. God is at work in Bray. That everywhere we step, we see his activity. We see him moving. We see people receptive to hearing about God. We see people coming to know the Lord. We see people's lives being transformed. We see favor coming our way. We see resources coming our way. That God is doing everything on his half for us to see revival in this place. He's doing everything on his side for us to see revival. If we'll only be people who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I guarantee we'll see it, guys. I guarantee we'll see it. I'm sure of it. You know, and there's these verses in Hebrews that really encourage me. It says this in Hebrews 3. It says, this is why the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested me and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts are always turned away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Turn you away from the living God. Turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. every day while it's still today. He's saying, in this era we live in this time where the Holy Spirit is moving, where this time that's so charged with potential, so charged with just these opportunities for God to just break out in miraculous ways. In these times, encourage each other every day as long as it's called today, so that we take a hold of these things, so that our hearts aren't hardened, so that we don't get things backwards and only be looking to God for the things that we need, rather than looking to God to involve us in the miraculous, to involve us in the amazing things that he's looking to do in this place, in this time, in our lives, in this town, for his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. And hopefully then, you know, like it says, encourage each other as long as it's today. Hopefully this message has been an encouragement in that regard to you. And, you know, last week Noel preached, as I said, and many of us responded in the calling the priests to the altar. And today I just want to remind us of that response, that we're people who've laid down our lives for his calling. That we're people who've laid down our lives for his calling. And that wasn't just something that happened last Sunday. That was something that happens to us daily, that we need to do daily. Let's be people who daily seek the kingdom of God first. And we're going to pray in a minute. And before we do, I'd love to just give you this challenge. I'd love to just ask you to do this simple thing. That this week, there's 7 days in this week. This week, before next week, before we come back together next Sunday. Each morning when you get up, just pray through the Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer, yeah? We all learned it in school or in Mass or wherever it was. Pray through it, and pray through it in sequence. Pray to our Father in heaven. Pray about his holiness, like focus on his greatness and all. And then say, just ask the Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Ask the Lord, what does it look like for me to be involved in seeing your kingdom come today? So before we get on to praying about our sins, before we get on to praying about our needs and all the things that we're going to put before the Lord, just seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then that provides a platform for us to do the rest. And I guarantee that when we come back together next week, we'll be full of stories of how God uses us, of divine appointments. And what I'd say is when God does put something your way, then just take the step of faith. When God does put someone your way, you know, you could be, God could use you this week to bring healing to your family. He could use you to bring restoration to your family where there's been brokenness and hurt. He could use you to lead someone to salvation. He could use you to meet a need that someone has. He could use you to change someone's life this week. That's the potential that's in each one of us. We can't just be Christians going through the routine, back to church, do the songs, do the sermon, back out to just live our lives normal, humdrum. Like each day is charged with the potential of really having an impact in the world, guys. We're called and we're given this message to change the world. Our calling is no less than that. It really isn't. It's no less than that. And if we ever lose sight of it, may God forgive us. Because he's called us and he's saved us for a purpose. And so this week, I just encourage you, begin the day with asking the Lord, live through me today. Use me today to see your kingdom come. And I guarantee you guys, that's an irresistible prayer to God. An absolutely irresistible prayer to God. That's a prayer that God can't help but answer. I guarantee you. Let's stand. Let's stand to pray. We love you, Lord. We can just bow our heads, and even if you're comfortable, just raise our hands out just as if to receive from the Lord. And I want us to pray because today isn't over yet. So this isn't a message for tomorrow, it's still a message for today. And I want us to just where we're at, just respond to the Lord. And if that's where you've been, if you've been a person who typically, like me, who typically prays for the things we need, who typically looks for God to bless their things rather than the blessing of being involved in what he's doing, or just where you're at, just admit that before the Lord. And just ask him to help you to repent. Like we said, to rethink. Ask him to help you to change your thinking on that. God has incredible things for you, church. He has incredible things for you. He's incredible lives ordained for you. He's an incredible adventure ordained for you. If we'll only seek him first. If we'll only seek him first. And so, Father, tonight, we stand before you, Lord God, and we repent, Lord God, of our wrong thinking, Lord. We repent, Lord God, of putting ourselves first, Lord God, of seeing you, Lord God, as just the person who meets our need, Lord God. And Father, tonight, Lord God, as we did last week, Lord, we recommit ourselves to your purposes, Lord, to what you're doing in the world, Lord God, to your plans, Lord God, to your initiatives, Lord God. We steep ourselves in that tonight, Lord God. We commit ourselves again tonight, Lord God, to be your disciples, to be your hands and feet, to be people who extend, Lord God, rapidly the kingdom of God in Bray, Lord God, in our families, Lord God, in our own lives, Lord God, in our workplaces, in our schools and colleges, Lord God, in our social circles, Lord God, that we would begin to be salt and light, Lord God. You would begin to use us to be what you've called us to be, Lord God. Tonight, Father God, we ask that you would use us for your glory, Lord. Tonight we say that you would use us. We ask that you would use us to see your kingdom come, Lord God, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God. Tonight, Father God, we change our thinking, Lord. We change our thinking, Lord God. We change our thinking. We take on heaven's perspective, Lord God. We take on Jesus' perspective, Lord God, that says we want to do the things that the Father has ordained for us to do, that we have a purpose, we have a time, and we have every resource that we need, Lord God, to live in today. We have every resource we need to achieve your purposes for today. We have your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We have the very life of Christ in whom the fullness of deity dwells, living within us tonight, Lord God. And we believe that, Lord God. We accept that, Lord God, and we ask, Father God, that you would just launch us into our future as a church. Father, I pray over these people, Lord God, that this week, Lord God, I pray for miraculous, Lord God, divine, Lord God, encounters with people, Lord God. I pray, Father, that as they seek to seek your kingdom first, Lord God, that they'd find it at every step, Lord God. I pray, Father, for an excitement and a passion to raise up in us, Lord God, when we see that you're answering these prayers, Lord God, when we see, Lord God, the blessing, Lord God, and the amazing experience it is to know that you're right in the very heart of the presence of God, that you're right in the very heart of the purposes of God for your life, for this moment where we see that you are pulling all things together, Lord God, aligning, Lord God, our time and our resources, Lord God, people we come into contact with, Lord God, to bring you glory. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes this week to the opportunities we have, Lord God. Father, where we've been blind, Lord God, to the opportunity to share with people, to the opportunity to make a difference, Lord, in our work colleagues' lives, Lord God, to be the person who brings reconciliation in families, Lord God, to be the person, Lord God, of salt and light, Lord, in the circles that you've put us within, Lord, would you open our eyes to it again? And Father, this week, would you give us the courage, Lord, the boldness, Lord God, the tenacity, Lord God, Father, to just take you at your word, to step out in faith, Lord God, and find that you're there with us, Lord God. Find that you've gone before us, Lord God, to step out of the boat, Lord God, and find that we can walk on water with you, Lord God, to have our eyes focused on you, Lord God, the author, Lord, and the perfecter of our faith, Lord God, who's given us everything we need, Jesus. We just commit ourselves to you tonight. In Jesus' precious and holy and awesome and powerful name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Yeah.